glory to God. I'd like to turn your attention to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse number 12, Jesus says this: "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force." It's not always easy to live a life for God. Sometimes you have to be forceful. Stand up for what no one else stands up for. Do what nobody else approves of. It's going to be like that. When people have their first skirmish, if they're knocked down because of it, well, they jeopardize their salvation. And then if you'll turn to 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter, starting in verse number 1, says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel." That's good, right? "And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still. And take it not out of the hands of the king of Syria, our enemy. Know ye not? There are some things that God has given to us, it's ours. And yet sometimes we don't move or still. The word Ramoth means high place. Nobody knew what I was going to preach this morning. I put this message together in Mexico last week. But there are mountains behind us. Glory to God. How many want to climb a mountain this morning? Go a little higher than we've ever been before? Glory to God. When we put together our puppet show years ago, we sang a song, "Going Up to the High Place." Maybe we could sing that before the preaching of the words. The high places. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning, upon your people this morning. And God, allow us to get higher, closer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. The place we stay at in Mexico, I looked it up yesterday. It's at 30 foot above sea level, so it's right down by the ocean. And then just a couple of blocks away, there is a mountain that is 7,000 feet. And I convinced my wife that we should climb that mountain. And so we did. It took us an hour. What's nice is it's not a straight up mountain, but we were able to take a path that went up to the mountain. And once you got up to the mountain, what an incredible view. You could see literally miles and miles, see the ocean in the distance, and cars look like ants. But in order to get there, we stopped several times, took water with us. And it's an incredible thing to get higher. Your perspective is so much greater. Hallelujah. The king of Israel said, Ramoth in Gilead is ours, but we are doing nothing to possess it. It seems like all advertising is to persuade people to make something their own. You need this. Every day we're inundated by somebody who tells you how great their product is and how necessary it is for you to buy it. No better time to make it your own. Many people have been persuaded to make purchases of something that they had no use for at all. Right. I've been there. A couple of weeks ago, my wife's aunt, who's 97 years old, had a plumbing problem, and she was in the hospital, and so I agreed to go over and check it out. And I've never been in the house. They have been married for I don't know how many years. Her husband just passed away and never had any children. She has 16 savings accounts. But as I walked into the house, every room I went into, I said, oh my God. Because there were boxes upon boxes and just pathways. And most of it was items that they purchased but never used. Tags still on them in the cellophane paper, suits that were hung with tags on them. And at 97, well, you got a bunch of stuff that you'll never use, but do you have God? We can all fall into that. We can. As we mature, or at least when we get older, we don't seem to need as much stuff. You young people, I can save you a lot of money, because some of the things that you want right now, you could care less about as you mature. But on the other hand, there are things which God longs to give you. And there's advertising from this pulpit every week. You need it. Amen. You can have it. Amen. It'll cost you a little. In our text, King Ahab is about to die. And like most dying men, he doesn't even know he's going to die. He's making plans for another war. The king gathered his 400 prophets together to inquire whether he should go take Ramoth in Gilead. And they all agreed to go up, for the Lord shall be with you. And yet there was something in him that says, I don't know. These guys always agree with whatever I ask. And so let's take a look at 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. Starting in verse number 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth of Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hands of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micah, the son of Imel, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Oh, I feel at home. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micah, the son of Imel. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all of the prophets prophesied before them. Glory to God. Verse number 13. And the messenger that was gone to call Micah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declared good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy words, come on, you really be careful here. Let thy words, I pray thee, be like the words of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micah, shall we go against Ramoth of Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hands of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? You know, people, they know what's true. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? I don't want to be like other preachers. I don't want to tickle the ears of everybody. I know what people want to hear, but what they need to hear is a little different than that, you see. So Ahab ignored the words of the true prophet, and he went to battle. He even disguised himself so he wouldn't be a target when he went into battle. But by chance, the Bible says, a man shot an arrow into the air. Didn't even aim at him, that hit the king between the joints of his armor, and later he died in his chariot. And all of the army scattered back to their homes, just like the true prophet prophesied. So what was so special about Ramoth in Gilead that Ahab would be willing to die for it or be challenged? Ramoth, Gilead, was a high place. Like I said, Ramoth is a high place. That's what it means, the very meaning of the word. It was higher than any other surrounding place, about 3,000 feet above sea level, a commanding view of all of the terrain to look down at the enemy, a very advantageous place in order to win a war. It was a safe place. It was one of the six original cities of refuge, a safe haven for those that were fleeing from somebody who accused them of being guilty of a murder. It was a type and shadow of the church today, a city of refuge. As long as you stay in the church, I'm telling you, The enemy cannot get to you. You cannot be accused of something that you didn't do. Anyone who would stay in the city where the high priest was safe from judgment, just like the church. Well, I don't think I really need church. Okay, fine. Step outside, and you're exposed to things that you will never be exposed to while you're in the church. Ramoth of Gilead was also a place of healing. A certain tree grew on the high rocky slopes of Ramoth of Gilead. And when the tree was beaten, they would take chains and things and beat that tree. It would then emit an ointment which was to heal all manner of diseases. You see the shadow and type of Jesus being beaten for our healing and lifted up in a high place, you see? The balm of Gilead, the miracle cure of the day, found in the high place of rain. You couldn't find it any place. You had to get up to the mountain in order to get to the healing anointed. All of these special advantages found in Ramoth of Gilead are found in our Lord Jesus Christ today. He is our rock. He is our high place. He is our city of refuge. We cannot be judged because he's already taken our sins away. He is our healer because he was beaten and he was put high on a tree. The shadows and types in the Old Testament revealing our Jesus in the New Testament. And as we've read in 1 Kings 22 and 3, Ramoth of Gilead is ours. Amen. And we're still, nothing worse than still church. I came, I sat, I did nothing, and I still haven't received what God has paid for. Church, Jesus is ours.
Amen.
And we can't stay still.
Right.
And when I was young, I got a lot more active. I had more energy. Hallelujah. No, it's not all the goods of this world that God wants to give us, even though he gives us life and life more abundantly. Not the pricey things or the toys to occupy our free time. God, can you give me this? God, can you give me that? But like it says in Romans, it's the kingdom of righteousness, peace, joy, and in his spirit. There isn't anything that is more valuable than a contentment that God gives us, a peace, a joy, to enjoy the things that we have, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little.
Amen.
Years ago, a lady had a vision while in prayer, and the Lord took her to this gigantic room. And in this gigantic room, there were all these beautiful presents that were wrapped and bows on them. And each present had a name of somebody in the church, but they were unopened. I wonder if God's got a gift for you, but you didn't take the trip. The heartbreak of neglected promises. What could have been, but didn't make the trip to Ramoth Gilead, the high place. Or there will always be a battle to get to the high place. It's going to take some effort. You can't make it all in one trip. Why didn't the king make his way to the high place when he still was a young man? Opportunities we have when we are young aren't easily recovered when we get older. Ecclesiastes 12 says, serve the Lord in your youth before the evil days come. If you don't know what the evil days is, see me after the service. I can tell you about a few aches and pains. What we neglect to occupy, we will neglect to make our own. And then one day, it'll become the possession of somebody else. See, God's going to always have a people.
Amen.
And whether we operate in the gifts of the Spirit or not, God is going to have someone who will operate in the gifts of the Spirit. If you want to be a part of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, maybe you need to take a trip to the high place so God can give you one of the gifts of the Spirit, you see. Point in fact, when Israel rejected God's plan for them, God then permitted the Gentiles to possess it. It wasn't his original plan. He wanted to do all of that through the nation of Israel. God will always have a people who will make him their own. Take the trip. Amen. It's not a time to lay back, folks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'd like to be a part of the rapture generation. I'd like to be a part of those who go up. But you know, we have to have the oil. We have to have the commitment. We can't just rest on our laurels of what we did when we were younger. Church, we possess the best of what God has for us, all of the gifts of the Spirit, vocal gifts, healing, miracles, signs, and wonders, all because we take a trip to Ramoth-Gilead and laid claim to what God has already given us. I've talked to too many people who say, well, the gifts of the Spirit aren't in operation in the church any longer. That was for 2,000 years ago. I'm sorry. I've taken the trip to the mountain. I've seen things. I've experienced things that no one else. I've seen things because of the elevation that God has put me in. But consider that in the last days, people who work miracles and even cast out devils will hear Jesus say, depart from me, I never knew you. You were up there. You saw it. You experienced it. Yeah, but now let the next generation. How did the enemy seize that high place that should have belonged to Israel? Well, just a little at a time. Give up just one little truth. One service won't hurt. Are all of these principles necessary? Give up a little at a time, and eventually you'll never get to the mountain again. It's so easy. All it takes for evil to prevail is for good men and women to do absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, it's a very difficult time to live for God. We have this virus thing. We've got a lot of things, you know, against us. And no, now is the time. Now is the time to make it our own, you see. Galatians chapter 1, very familiar scripture, starting in verse number 6. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We're not just talking about people in another denomination. What really scares me is people who have had full truth are now denying that there are certain things that are necessary any longer. It's another gospel, folks. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I'm talking about seriousness. The man of God saying, curse him. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? That's the question today. You know? Hallelujah. God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change anything in your life. You know, he's so merciful. Any lifestyle that you have, any habit that you have, God still loves you. Yes, he does, but he's not going to tolerate you living the way you're living. He wants a church, a bride, wrinkle-free, pure and white. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. It's got to be by the word of God. Like they sang about. Hide it in your heart. There's too many things in our heart that we want that won't make a difference. 50 years from now, will it really make a difference? See, the tactic of most treacherous thieves is to steal the best and replace it with counterfeits or something that has no value. And that's what's happening in the church today. The thief comes in, he takes what really is powerful within our church, the gifts of the Spirit, the holiness, the separation, the freedom to worship. Everyone is a high priest, you see. Great moves of God replaced with music presentations. Separation and holiness replaced with service work. Let's feed the hungry. And Jesus said it happened so suddenly to the church in Ephesus, and they didn't realize it happened. They were so dedicated to God, but that thing happened so subtly. If you look at Revelation, the second chapter, it says, and unto the angel, or unto the pastor of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Oh, you're doing it all right. But now we're sitting back. Their first love is carelessly given up to a sense of duty, tradition. False doctrine is noted, a lot of service work done, evil is despised, and they become great haters and poor lovers. We can get to the place where we just hate what's going on in this world, but we're not loving God like we used to, because that hate starts to permeate in us, and now we've lost our joy. Turn to 1 Kings, the 14th chapter. First Kings chapter 14, and starting in verse 22. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places. I'm not going to go up God's mountain. I'm going to have my own high place. The Tower of Babel, you know? Protection, because I'm afraid that God's going to flood the earth again, and so let's make a tower. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that the Shishaks, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house. Oh, God, don't take the treasures of this house. The valuable things of this house. Of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all of the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them unto the hands of the chiefs of the guards which kept the doors of the king's house. So we find that they came from Egypt because of the wickedness of the people, and the valuable things were stolen, including 400 gold shields of Solomon, and Rehoboam was content to replace the gold shields with brazen shields. I'm not willing to do that. Our enemy wants us to be content with living at the base of the mountain. You listen to me. To be pacified with what we have and not what we could have. Well, it was a pretty good service. Yeah, but it could have been an outstanding service. There were a few people at the altar. There should have been all of the people that came to the altar. To settle for an ordinary walk with God instead of an extraordinary walk with God, where God talks to us all of the time. You're rejoicing in your house. You're rejoicing in your car. To be content with haphazard prayer when God wants to shake this world with real prayer. I don't want to settle for second best. I don't want a replacement for Pentecost. The thief doesn't even mind if we come to church as long as we just don't have church. Well, I came. But were you church? Did you celebrate? Shouting is okay, just don't live the life that you're shouting about. The thief is not only a robber of what we possess, but what we could have possessed. I've said it so many times, we live so far below our privilege. And one day when we get to heaven, God's going to show us what we could have had, but we didn't. He steals dreams and ministries. He steals family members. He steals healing. He steals our joy in living for God. Solomon declared, if a thief is found, he must restore what he took sevenfold. If the enemy of our soul has stolen something from us, then there is an equal certainty that God will restore to you sevenfold the what? You know, I used to be a great worshiper. Well, you could be even a fantastic worshiper right now. If my family, I think my family can all be saved, not just pick one or another. If we will again take the high place of Ramoth, of Gilead. Job lost everything he had because of Satan. Didn't understand the agreement that God had with Satan, you know, because it was a test. Some of you are in a test right now. And God knows all about it. But you don't understand why you're... It doesn't matter if you understand. Just a matter of going through what you're going through. But because Job wouldn't stand still, and he fought for the high calling of God, according to Job 42 and 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The word twice is not in the original language. I believe he got seven times what was taken from you. And then God gave him a long, long life of 140 years. Oh, he was sick. But because he wouldn't curse God and die. God said, watch. You're not in charge of your life. I'm in charge of your life. I can give you many years. I can heal you. Because he fought a battle for the high place in God. Well, I'll be tested to see if we'll fight. The kingdom of God is taken by violence. No namby-pambies need apply. Because if you do, you won't last long. 1 Kings 22 and 3 said, and the king of Israel said unto his servant, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hands of the king of Israel or out of the hands of the enemy. Church, we can't sit still. The Bible says that the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive. That doesn't mean, oh, I got to go to church. Ah, the pastor. Friday night prayer, Saturday night prayer, three times. There are other places you don't have to have all of that. Well, they're content with standing at the base of the mountain. They don't want to get the possessions that God wants to give us, you see. Hallelujah. Amen. While the enemy takes what really belongs to us, takes our blessings, our worship, our families, our marriages, our right to be healed, live in peace, experience the joy of the Lord without any kind of obligation. In each church service, we are encouraging each other to go a little higher. I see when somebody comes back that hasn't been here for a while, there's a whole throng of people around them. Why? Because they want to see him do well. You know, we could go up to the mountain. Jesus said, it's my church. Paul said, it's my gospel. It's not a cross, it's my cross. It's my ministry. It's my Sunday school. It's my Bible study. We can't be still. We have to have it for our own. This is mine. Hallelujah. You know, you need to be able to say, this is my church. I've gotten calls from people saying, well, you know, your church. And when they say your church, I already understand they're not here anymore. Paul declared to the Philippians, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. So he's waiting. You see, it starts at the bottom. And then you start to take the path to get to the place where you can view the things of God like no one else does. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you were willing to just about do anything for it? I don't really need to eat for the next year. I can walk to work, it's only 20 miles, you know, because I want this thing so badly. I've been there. And then God, in his mercy, has given me the things that I hated once I got them. Jesus made it very clear, the treasure in the field cost everything that you have. And the pearl of great price never goes on sale. We have a cheaper Pentecost today than we did 35 years ago, 40 years ago, cheaper. How can that be? Hallelujah. Church, our God is worth the price. Hallelujah. He wants to give us some things if we're willing to take the high places, fight a little battle. Hallelujah. And Jesus thought we were worth the price that he paid. Why wouldn't we feel the same about him? He hung on a high place just to prove it. Don't wait too late. I was going to do that when I was younger. I remember I was going to teach a Bible study, but, you know, I never got around to it. I wanted to have a ministry within the church, but, you know, now there's so many other people who could do it. That's a lie. You can reach people that nobody else could ever reach. Make the purchase. The last thing I'll say is Psalms 23 and 1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. If you make the one purchase, the rest of it, oh, hallelujah. I don't want for anything. Hallelujah. All of the other trinkets in this world doesn't mean diddly. Hallelujah. I know when I was young, I had ambitions and ideas of what I wanted and how I was going to live and what I was going to live in and what car I was going to drive. And all of those things are wonderful ambitions. But it's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added onto you. Otherwise, you'll get to the end of your life and you'll be so sorry. Hallelujah. What you could have had, but you didn't. Make him your shepherd. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So I look back at 33 years, and could I have done some things different? I suppose I could, but at least I'm here. Amen. You didn't throw me out. That's good. Some of you even listened to some of my messages. Glory to God. But the main thing is I'm still climbing. That old lady and this old man, if we can climb a mountain at 72 and 75, I think anybody in this place can do a little climbing. Amen. Hallelujah. You may have to stop and rest every once in a while. But I'm telling you, it's worth it, folks. Don't lay down. I remember running in cross country in high school, a 2.5 mile race, and there in the middle of the race, I thought, if I just slowed down a little bit, you know, catch my breath. But the reality is, when you slow down, eventually you'll sit down, and then after sitting, you'll lay down, and then you'll be out of the race. I think we should be running faster at the end than in the beginning. We have more experiences. God's done more for us. Hallelujah. We've got more things to tell other people around us than ever before. You know more scripture. You've heard more sermons. You've had more miracles and experiences in your life. And believe it or not, you're more valuable as you get older and being in the church. Amen. So you've heard the saying, this is the first day of the rest of your life. That's true for the church. No woulda, coulda, shouldas. Just start.
Amen.
Start the climb.
Amen.
Start for the altar.
Amen.
The altar's open.